On the phone with me right now is Kathy Z. Good evening, Kathy.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And you?
I'm great. Pleasure to talk with you tonight.
Well, this should be fun. Let's just start from the beginning. Where were you born and raised?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in a little town called Lawrenceville. It's a little suburb of Pittsburgh.
So how was it growing up in that suburb?
I went to Catholic school through the 12th grade. We lived in the suburb of Lawrenceville. It's about maybe 10 or 12 miles from downtown Pittsburgh, but it's pretty remote. The house that we lived in, it was lots of steps to climb up and down to get to the house, and they're like row houses in there, similar to the houses that you see in San Francisco. It was just fun growing up. It was kind of a wholesome life.
So what are some of your first musical memories, and how you determined early on that maybe you liked singing?
That's an interesting question, Brian. My brother, who was actually 8 years older than myself, was in a talent show. He was age 12. It was called the Wilkins Amateur Hour, and he played guitar, and he sang a Hank Williams song called Cold, Cold Heart. And he won the show. There was 12 or 13 other people on the show, and he came in number one. And I was 4 years old, and I started to get an interest because, I guess, watching him being up there on the stage, I wanted some of that attention too. So I went ahead and was saying to my mom, I want to sing, and she wasn't really paying any attention to me at that point, you know, a four-year-old saying she wants to sing. So my brother was doing all these benefit shows and going around to some of the hospitals and just doing a lot of different talent shows in the area and television as well as radio shows. And there was a big show that happened at a high school that was a big benefit show for, I believe, the Leukemia Foundation. And my brother was out there singing, and I basically threw a fit behind the scenes. I told my mom truly that I want to sing, and I started crying and being a typical four-year-old. And so finally the lady that was running the show said, oh, we'll just let her sing, you know, get her out there.
Somebody caved in.
They gave in. Shut me up. And I went out there, and they said, well, what do you want to sing, little girl? And I said, I want to sing this song called Some of These Days by Sophie Tucker. And they said, well, what key do you want to sing it in? I said, I don't know, play it in any key, because I had no idea what they were even talking about. So they let me sing, and everybody clapped so much, and they just loved me, and so I just continued on. Mom said, gee, that was a good song. You did good. So we started singing together, my brother and I. I had a natural ability to do harmony with him, and I started playing mandolin at that time as well, and I was the youngest mandolin player in the city of Pittsburgh.
So you were playing mandolin then at just past 4 years old?
Yes, and we named ourselves the Harmony Wildcats.
So Kathy, who was it that encouraged you at such an early age to start singing?
Well, Brian, I have to give credit to my mom, Ann Zaleski, who was just the most incredible woman. She's never had a voice lesson in her life, but she would tell me what words to emphasize, how to put some feeling into what I was singing. And she gave a lot of her life to my brother and I and helped us. She would hear the way that we were singing something, and she would say, if you would just put the emphasis on this word and bring this note out a little bit, it would really sound much better. And she's just an incredible woman. You know, she lives in Sacramento, and she's 88 years old and still living by herself and does everything for herself, and she's just incredible. I give her all the credit for that.
What a talent to be able to hear all of that in your head without having any training whatsoever and to be able to make it sound correct.
It's amazing. She's never had a voice lesson or a musical lesson in her entire life. She really did help us to learn a lot about music. Even when I was playing the mandolin at age 4, she was telling me different things to do and how to do it, and it's amazing.
And then did she help you out a lot when it came time to work out agreements, sign contracts, and that kind of thing?
Yes, any of the agreements did go through my mom and dad, but I really don't think that they knew a lot about contracts at that time. Growing up, we didn't have a lot in our life. I did grow up in a fairly poor family, so they didn't have the funds to go see an attorney and make sure that everything was correct. So whatever they signed, that's what was there. I don't want to say stuck with, but that's the way it was.
Then did you continue on quite a bit then with the TV?
We did a lot of TV programs. We did a lot of shows on radio and TV. Back then, it was record hops, and they had a lot of musical things going on back in Pittsburgh at that time. Dances and just benefit shows, I want to say. We also did a lot of singing for shut-ins, and there was a lady that... Her name is Eva Jackson. She had a local radio program. Can't remember the station, but she also had 8 or 10 different acts that she would take on shows and performances for different causes back there. And I believe one station was WQED. That was one of the larger stations. And there was another lady called the Virginia O'Donnell Show that we were part of. We appeared weekly on these shows.
Again, to recap, then that was you and your brother.
Yes.
As a duo, plus probably some other musicians.
As a duo, just him and I going on these shows.
So you must have done that for several years then in the Pittsburgh area.
We did quite a few shows. And when I was 13 years old, a talent scout named Elmer Willett contacted us and said that he wanted me to record a record. He wanted just me, and my mom was really not too happy about that, but she went ahead and said, okay, we'll go ahead. Jimmy does need to be on the record, so he actually played backup guitar and did the harmony on Buzzin' and Cracker Jack.
So Buzzin' and Cracker Jack were your first record, Buzzin' being the A-side.
Yes.
It did pretty well in Pittsburgh.
It did exceptionally well. However, it was released about 3 or 4 months prior to that in Hamburg, Germany on the Polydor label. And it was number one in Hamburg, Germany for 3 weeks straight before it hit the charts in the U.S.
At the time, did you even know it was popular in Germany?
Yes. Our manager told us that it was number one over there.
So you were doing real well with that record in Pittsburgh off the Lorry label. What was next then? Did your label owner, Mr. Willett, then decide to put out another record?
Buzzin' and Cracker Jack were actually put out on the Lorry label out of New York. And we cut that record in Cleveland, Ohio with the backup band Dick Glazer and the Glazer Brothers,
mm-hmm.
who were really popular at that time. They had number one records all over the country, in the country field. And they also did some backup on the second record that Jimmy and I cut together, called Santa Claus Rock and Roll and Your Name, which was released on the Willett label.
After the owner.
After our manager, yes.
So is there a reason that you didn't have another follow-up on Lorry and you went to Willett? Sometimes that's what a label does once they get something that's popular. They'll follow it up on the same label.
We were supposed to cut 3 follow-up records on the Lorry label. And, you know, I really don't know what happened at the time. I think there was something between the manager and the record label that they couldn't come to an agreement. So he just went ahead and put the second record out on his label.
Hmm. So how did that one do in Pittsburgh or anywhere for that matter?
The record did pretty well. Not as good as Buzzin', for sure. But I don't think that there was the money put behind that one as much as Buzzin'.
So the promotion may have lacked just a little bit on that one.
Yes, for sure.
Can you tell me a little bit about Elmer Willett and what he was like and how he was to work for?
Elmer Willett was a person that owned a supper club in Pittsburgh called the Vogue Terrace Supper Club. And he was someone who was looking for talent that was undiscovered. He had quite a few people that he managed. The names escape me at this moment, but he would take and help them and give them voice lessons. And he put me in touch with a voice teacher that taught me how to sing blues, taught me how to put soul into my music, of which on the record, on Buzzin' and Cracker Jack, you don't see any of that, but when I sing today, or when I was singing in my teenage years after the songs were out, I have a bluesy, deep soul kind of a feeling to my music. And the voice teacher taught me how to do that, how to feel the music and feel the words that you're singing. I really give credit to Elmer Willett for that.
So it sounds like, all in all, you had a really good experience working for Elmer Willett.
For the most part, the contract that my mom signed, there was no funds or money or anything that ever went to my brother or I. We never really saw 1 cent from any of the records.
You were doing it for the pleasure of singing then. Is that what I'm hearing?
Just about. Well, I think, you know, it was doing it for the pleasure of having fun with it at that time. We didn't really look at it as getting famous or getting popular or We just really enjoyed what we were doing.
So from there then, after your second single, did you continue on with your music, or where did you go from there?
You know, we did continue. My brother and I continued to sing throughout the Pittsburgh area. We sang in a lot of clubs, a lot of the dinner clubs there, a lot of the, like the Moose Lodges and places similar to that. Again, a lot of benefit shows until I graduated from high school. And then we decided that we were going to take a trip to California and be stars out here. And it's really kind of funny now because we got into a 1956 car that we had, an Oldsmobile, and we had $300 in our pocket, and we were going to drive across country from Pittsburgh to Hollywood. You know, the car broke down in Missouri, and we had to wire for some funds to get us to California, and we finally did really make it to Hollywood, totally broke, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and for about, 3 or 4 weeks, there was a lady there that had a motel that let us stay there until we did get some work there. And I'll never forget her. Her name was Mrs. Colley. She was just a blessing to us, just a wonderful lady. And in that 3 or 4 weeks that we were there in Hollywood, we would go around to all the different talent agents in Hollywood and audition for them. We were actually signed up by the largest agency in Hollywood at that time, the Johnny Robinson Agency, signed us up and sent us to the Sands Hotel in San Diego. And we were only supposed to be there a couple of weeks, and they liked us so well, they kept us a couple of months. And then there was a promoter in Reno that was putting together a show for the Mapes Hotel, and they signed us up to be the backup band for that. It was like a comedy review. And that lasted several years in Reno. We went from one casino to another casino. We went from the Prima Donna, which isn't there any longer, to the Mapes Hotel. And over 3 or 4 years of singing and being the backup band, it was called the Al Bello Review. And then that's when my brother and I decided that it was time to do something else. So he left the group, and I left the group, and I went with Abby Neal and the Ranch Girls.
So tell us a little bit about that group, Abby Neal and the Ranch Girls.
Abby's group was great. Actually, she had several hit records out prior to that, and Abby was very famous, more so probably on the East Coast than on the West Coast, but she was the best steel guitar player around, lived in Reno, and just had a marvelous country and western all-girl band. I played rhythm guitar for her. We just toured all around the West Coast and sang at the Calnebo at Tahoe and went to Las Vegas and just did country music for about 3 years. And then she had a heart attack and was pretty ill, and so the band broke up at that time. Shortly after that, I was offered to be a bass player and a singer with a group called The Diplomats. And The Diplomats pretty much toured around the country, although we did go back east to South Dakota to do some music back there and Arizona and came back to California. But The Diplomats were a group that did pretty much like the old standard kind of music. So I was playing a little jazz bass for them.
So that was a little bit of a departure for you.
A bit of a departure. And then after The Diplomats, I had a family. I was raising 2 adopted children, and I decided to just spend some time at home and see as the years passed. It was 20-some years later, and decided that I needed to start singing again. So I joined the choir at our church, and I really enjoyed doing that.
You just can't stop singing, can you?
You can't stop singing. It's just a great thing.
When you were done then with The Diplomats, then that was the end of the professional engagements, as it were.
Yes, that was the end of the professional thing.
Tell me about the Ted Mack Amateur Hour.
Well, Ted Mack was a very popular, very famous person on the East Coast. He did a lot of television shows, again, with talent that he found all over the country. We toured with Ted Mack for probably 3 or 4 years. After Buzzin' was out, he did a lot of state fairs, the New York State Fair, Pennsylvania State Fair, lots of things like that, and again, lots of TV programs with Ted Mack. That was a fabulous time in our life. He treated us like we were just gold nuggets. He just was the most wonderful man, and I really think that anybody that had been on that tour with him really appreciated all that he did for the young talent of those days. It was just incredible how he would put his money behind you. And we never paid for anything when he sent us out on the show. He paid for our plane fare. He paid for our meals. He paid for everything. And then we were paid for our performance.
Quite a change from working then with Elmer.
For sure.
What were some of the other artists that were on those tours with him?
You know, I remember the Skyliners, who were a famous group, again, from the East Coast. And there was a lot of other groups that Kenny Ambrose was another person that toured with us. And I believe he had cut a record at that time. You know, I can't really remember some of the other people, but those two just come to mind.
Well, you've had a very rich musical career, even though maybe didn't get into the number one spot in the U.S. It was obvious that you not only had a lot of talent, you were able to cut some records, which is more than a lot of people can say. And the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, I mean, you must have had a lot of fun.
Well, I think it was a real blessing that we had the opportunity to do that and that we had the ability to go out and have some talent to go out and really play our music for people. And I remember singing a lot of Beatles songs at that time. My brother really does play a great guitar. He has a Chuck Berry style in his music. And we were able to really sing and have good harmonies together. We had a natural harmony that we could do together. And we never had to ask each other what we were doing. It just flowed. And we just had a lot of fun.
So now that you're back, you're singing with the choir, what else are you doing now?
I really do enjoy that. That's kind of my number one priority right now. On the job front, I've been an accounts executive for a technical consulting firm for about the last 10 years. I do a lot of sales and recruiting. So I basically find people's jobs, and I really enjoy doing that. I like the recruiting and helping people.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you and maybe talk about the days in Pittsburgh, I know we've got people from Pittsburgh out in this part of the country, or find out what's going on, how could they contact you?
Oh, I'd love that. That would be great. I have an email address that they can write me, and it's Kathy Z Fan Club, and that's KathyZee Fan Club. At sbcglobal.net, or they can write me at my P.O. box. It's Kathy Z, initials PMB 317, 7238 Murrieta Drive, Suite A2A, Rancho Murrieta, California, 95683.
I know that you and I have talked a little. You're possibly getting a fan club together.
I would love to do that. One of the reasons that I thought that would be a wonderful thing is that there's so many needs in our local community, and I'd like to find something really good to do with the money that would come in for, say, you know, a picture. Somebody would want an autographed photo of Jimmy and I or myself, and we could take some of the money from that and put it to good use. And there's so many needs in the community. We've just been talking about some of the things that we could do with that. I love animals, so we're thinking about helping some of the animal shelters around this. Or there's so many people needs. I mean, it's just hard to decide, but we are talking about putting that together to help and do some good in the community with that.
I think it sounds like a great plan, and I certainly will be sure that once you have that together that I can let listeners know all about that.
I'll definitely let you know, because we do have to find the best way to put the money to use.
I've been talking with Kathy Z tonight on the Rhythm and Blues Review Color Radio on Saturday nights, and talking about a couple of her records and some of her musical experiences and career. Kathy, thank you very much for joining me tonight. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You know, it's been my pleasure, and I hope that I hear from some of the people out there that remember the music.